Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is November 4th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com and listening to years and years and years worth of archives, or by subscribing to Motorvitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use. So we love having you on live, though, because it's always great to have the discussion, right? So before we start, there's a couple announcements that I'd like to make. First off, we are doing some web maintenance, again, on the website. That happens periodically. So if you're noticing some slow times or some slower speeds, I'm actually taking all of those archives, all the media stuff, and I'm offloading it onto an alternative site, and that's an arduous process, and the fault is mine. Please be patient, and it'll be back up. It's up now. Everything's working fine. I'm just giving you a heads up if you happen to be on there circling around it. And then the more important announcement is that tomorrow is Motor Vitality's Vice President's birthday, and I wanted to publicly just announce that and have everybody reach out to Jen Smith, who, in my opinion, is one of the best ever, the best humans ever. And it's a significant birthday for her. So please join me in wishing Jen happy birthday. So Jen, you rock. Thank you. And happy birthday.
And Kelly, I'm Sunday.
Whatever. Okay, we're moving on.
Yeah,
we're moving forward.
Everybody wish him a happy birthday also, and ditto everything you said about me.
Yeah, well, your birthday's first and the only one that matters. So,
yeah.
Although it's Michelle's birthday today, so
yeah,
because she's not on this call though. But all right. So with that, I'm going to start the call off the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with?
Kelly, I do.
Go ahead, Jen, please.
I was raising my hand, but you didn't see it.
I know. I was waiting for you because you always pause and let somebody else wait, and then you have something, and I love it. I'm like, always, if there's a time where you don't have that one thing to talk about, I'm like, dang, gone. So anyway, go ahead.
So I have two. First one is any birthday wishes I do appreciate, but my birthday wish every year is that you take time out of your day instead of wishing me a happy birthday, and you say kind words to a stranger, or you post to, you know, a friend's timeline that you haven't talked to in a while, or send them a message or something and just brighten their day. Because I know how blessed I am, and I think my birthday is going to be pretty awesome. It sounds like I'm going to have all my family there. So the second thing that I have to talk about is this past week we were looking at CDS meters, and I am going to say, even though Motor Vitality sells TDS meters, I was in a bind one day and I'm like, I'm just going to grab it from, buy one off of Amazon and ship it to where I was working at, because I wasn't in the office, and just have it overnighted. And I realized that it wasn't that great of quality. It didn't seem like, it was like off from the other ones that we were using. And, you know, when you have the hardness of the water, you know basically what the TDS should be, and it just wasn't matching. So then this past week, I started looking, comparing, like, what is the price difference between what Motor Vitality sells and what Amazon sells it for. And I found Amazon does sell it for a lot less money. However,
yeah, like $5.
$5, you know,
yeah.
I mean, shoot, I was ready to buy 10, you know, but
yeah.
What I did notice was that in the reviews, people were saying these are knockoffs. You can't calibrate them like it says you can. They even tell you to buy it with the calibration liquid and solution. And so, you know, but you can't calibrate it. And, you know, it's off by 20 parts per million. And there's, you know, all these different reviews saying that they suck. So just be wary. Sometimes if it sounds like it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. So just keep that in mind when purchasing TDS meters, anything like that, when you're going off to Amazon. I find kind of strange that on Amazon, I know how hard it was for us to start selling on Amazon, all the hoops we had to jump through. I am really surprised that, you know, there are companies that are allowed to sell those knockoffs, but Amazon doesn't know the difference.
So on that, I'm going to take a little bit. Yes, I agree with everything that you said. Okay. But, you know, that you can, TDS meters, you can buy, I mean, shoot, those zero water pitchers come with one, right? And if you're just trying to get an idea of whether something is working or reducing your total dissolved solids, I think these things are going to be fine for $5. You know, it's fine. If we are going in as a professional, though, and really using the water and we're really trying to help the customers, you know, there's a big difference between a tool that you buy at Big Lots or the Dollar Tree and something you're going to use all the time as a professional. So I think that they have their merits, right? If somebody, you know, they're definitely there. I got to look at the ones that we sell, and I saw one that came from Amazon, and they look, except for some of the print on them, the fine print, the things that are on them, they look identical. They really do. It's almost like they're the same mold, the same exact mold and everything. I mean, they look identical. The biggest difference is, in the back, there is actually still a hole where the calibration screw would go, but it's missing. It's not there. There's no screw in it. And you know, the thing is, a lot of times in our industry, I've met people who have never even known. They had no idea you were supposed to calibrate a TDS meter. So this may be news to some of you, but yes, TDS meters have to be calibrated. And the way you do that is you have a solution where you know know what the TDS is, and you know what the temperature of that solution is, and you stick it in your turn screw until it reaches that number, and that calibrates the TDS meter. Does that make a huge difference for us in the field? You know, is 20 or 50 parts per million going to make a gigantic difference in your sale? I don't know how often it's going to do that. So everything has its merits. You know, it has it. I'd rather somebody use a $5 TDS meter and talk about, you know, total dissolved solids and reverse osmosis and stuff like that than to not use one at all, you know, to not. But if we want to be accurate and we want to be professional, I think making sure we have professional tools is definitely a factor. So, and if you want the professional ones, then yeah, Moda Vitality carries them. but otherwise I wouldn't be ashamed of using the tools as long as you understand what its limitations are. There's a significant difference in those. And Jen, I got to tell you, even the ones that we carry, I've seen, you know, if you get them wet or get moisture in them, you know, when you put them in the test kit, like in the back and everything, they break just like anybody else's. You know, they're not waterproof, not those. So just know what it does and what it doesn't do. So what's your next one, Jim?
That was all I had.
Your first one was the birthday thing. All right. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything before we jump into our topic?
Hey, Kelly, real quick. This is Tony.
Yeah.
I had one of my dealers this morning send me a news reel that was on Florida News this morning, and it basically was the EWG had a explaining on the news live that there's things in our water that can harm us, and they were talking about PFAS, lead, fluoride, and other stuff, other contaminants, the algae stuff, but it was just interesting that they actually broadcasted that live on the news.
Yeah.
I know EWG's questionable at times, but the fact that they're starting to, you're starting to see more and more of this stuff coming out and actually being, you know, publicated out there in different forms, that's huge for our industry.
Well, fear sells for sure, and EWG certainly has a well-designed website that allows for that. I saw, you know, that John Oliver thing about PFAS a couple weeks ago. That was the website that John Oliver recommended people go to, was EWG.org.
Right.
It really is a valuable website. It's if you guys have not been to EWG.org, it really is, and it pops up and your customers are reading it. Okay. What I wouldn't do is jump on the fear bandwagon. Let those other things, you know, if customers do that, I wouldn't jump on the fear bandwagon. I also keep in mind, you don't want to make an enemy of the municipalities. We've talked about that, and that's something a lot of people do. They see EWG come out and talk about all this stuff that's in the water, and you know, and the news media goes out there, and then salespeople tend to go out there and jump on that bash the municipality bandwagon. And we need to partner with the municipalities, not work against them. We don't want to make an enemy of the municipalities.
Absolutely agree 100%. There's actually another one, Water Online newsletter, I subscribe to, and there's a lot of things in there that's talking about all kinds of stuff. I mean, all kinds of different things that the municipalities are trying to do to make things right. So it kind of keeps you up and down. But there's an article on there, Florida residents outrage at sewers, centers, drinking water. So you're getting some things from that side of the industry that are saying, hey, we kind of screwed this. Somebody screwed up here. Here it is. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole bunch of articles on there. And a lot of times you'll find some good water articles in there of what's going on in a particular area, and it could be useful. Just my
Which one is that? What's the publication?
It's Water Online Newsletter.
Water Online newsletter.
And it tends to lean toward the infrastructure side of things, but there's always good articles in water on there. More often than there's always one, for sure, out of their list of things that they talk about. But there's a lot of them on green algae, sustainability, all that kind of stuff. So it's just another source.
So go ahead, Jen.
Can you send me that link next Thursday? I will not be on the call because I am presenting at the virtual Florida Water Quality Association conference, and my presentation is Water 101 for the office professional, and they're the ones that field those calls when somebody sees something on the news. You know,
the
ones answering the phone, and so that would be perfect to how do you handle those calls. So, yeah, if you could send that to me, that'd be great.
Be happy to.
And I had one other thing that I learned this week that, you know, I'm always talking about networking and ways to create business and to get out there and to do stuff and everything, and I, you know, to meet people and to you know, we were talking about that, and of all the things that I have talked about and suggested, somebody, one of our new MV pros, found an idea that I never even would have thought to look at, and I wanted to share. It was meetup groups. So I'm going with this MV pro on Tuesday. There is a young professional's, and yes, I know that it's funny that I'm going to the Young Professionals Water Group, but these tickets, it was a meetup group on Meetup, and MV Pro typed in water into Meetup, and of course you get the swimming and the kayaking and all of that. But this was a group of people that are wanting to be or enter the water treatment industry, and it doesn't look like it's our industry specifically, like not the water treatment like we're doing. I think they're referring to water infrastructure and water treatment. I think it's going to be really interesting to go meet these people that are gathering and excited about getting into water, you know, and learning about water. The advertisement said that there were or, you know, the description said that there are educational opportunities and networking opportunities and stuff like that, but a meetup group, I never would have thought to have something like that. And it kind of made me think, okay, what if we did a, I mean, I don't know if you guys have done meetup, but what if we set up meetup groups? What if we created a meetup group just for people that wanted to discuss water? You know, let's talk water. It's a meetup group for water discussions. Why not? I mean, meetup is free. You know, you can. I mean, to be a premium to create an event, it's dirt cheap. It's like, I mean, I have for my backpacking groups, I have a meetup group that I do, but that's you know, even that's pretty inexpensive. I thought, what a cool idea to start to create some of that stuff, put that stuff together. Has anybody ever done anything like that? Might be worth looking into. I'll report back on what this meeting's like. We're doing that this next week. It's pretty cool. So, all right. Anything else before we jump into our topic here? Okay. So this question comes up periodically. You know, I just wanted to share with you guys a conversation. So I was out working with one of our MV Pros. We had a customer. We were directly up against a competitor on a sale. A competitor that frankly has essentially the same equipment, but that is known for fear, using scare tactics. This is one of those companies that takes the consumer confidence report and really goes through it and circles it and highlights the fear, the things that should be scary, scary, scary. And it's very, very effective presentation, but different style than what I usually recommend or do myself. And prices are fairly similar. Equipment is fairly similar. And we knew that we were directly up against this particular company. And so the question, and I could tell that by the questions that she was asking me. Okay, she would call and she would ask a question, and I knew exactly, because I know my competition and I know what they're doing and saying, I know who she had spoken to. Okay, and so I was prepared on how to answer the questions. But what I wanted to talk about today are discounts, because it struck me as, you know, as interesting that she sent me this text, which is, I know we talked, I remember talking a few years back about how often we close sales and do business via text. Holy moly, it seems such like an, just as a little side thing, seems like such an obsolete topic, because it's amazing to me how many customers, how many sales are done or closed via text these days. It's incredible, but that's a whole different topic. Just a difference in that. Corey, I know you're on the line. I remember talking to you about that, and you saying that you did a lot of them via text before. But anyway, this was part of the text. So I had sent some, had answered a couple questions with this customer. And then I got this text that says, I need to discuss with my spouse, but hoping to make a decision this weekend. Are you able to do any better on the price? My understanding is that there is some room to negotiate. So I wanted to, first off, before I talk about my response, I wanted to ask you guys, why is it that she would text me and say, my understanding is that there is some room to negotiate? What is it? Why would she have that understanding in our industry? Anybody?
Oh, I think because there are so many times that any in-home sales, it seems that, and not even only in-home sales, you look at cars and carpet and you know, you go in there and then you say, well, I'm going to, you know, I'm kind of looking at a competitor. Can you do something better on the price? And that discount is kind of already fixed into the price. And so they raise the prices and then bring them down when you ask for a price discount. And it's just so common.
It is. In home sales, it really is. And I, you know, I always think about that. I don't know. Anybody else have any thoughts on that? Why is it? Why is it that with in-home sales in particular, that seems to be this common thing? We don't walk into the store, into Home Depot, and buy something and ask for a better price. We trust that that's the price for the most part, and we go buy it, right? I mean, that's what we do.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
Hey, Kelly. This is Mike Ewell. Yeah. I'm joining for the first time. I wanted to...
Hey, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. I think, you know, that oftentimes customers get that subliminal message that there may be room for negotiation. Oftentimes as salespeople in our presentations, we're not totally convinced that's the price we're quoting is the price that it is and that it's non-negotiable. And so inadvertently, in the words we choose to use, the customer is always looking for that opening, if you will. You know, is there a discount? Is there a better price? And the choice of our words sometimes inadvertently, I believe, tend to make that person believe that there is room for negotiation. And then a lot of us are taught or a lot of us grew up with, hey, if you don't ask, you won't get. So
yeah, that's true too, right?
There's that first perception of do we ask and then do we give? And once your company starts to get a reputation that you are willing to discount, that word gets out there. It spreads around. I don't know how it does, but it gets out there. And so then I think that perception from the customer is already kind of set. So you got two things. Why do they ask? And then how do you answer that?
That's a great part.
Kelly,
I think you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
If I can add to that, I think you're always seeing slashing prices and everybody wants a discount if you're, you know, whatever. If you're a Prime member, you don't have shipping, whatever. But, you know, it could be a neighbor referral. It could, you know, or a referral from somebody that you worked with or somebody previously. Either you gave them a discount, and this is exactly why price integrity is huge, because if you're the same price for everybody, then you don't have to worry about anybody else finding out and you getting yourself into that kind of situation. The other thing is it could possibly be a competitor setting you up. I mean, I drop bombs like I know you do in the house and, you know, just give them, you know, it just sets yourself up for a victory. But, you know, I just think price integrity is huge. How do you handle a discount? Then it just means you need to ask more questions and build more value.
So I think you're absolutely right that, Mike, you know, and how we present it, I think, is important. I think we as a company have to decide what price integrity means to us. Are we going to stay consistent on our prices? And that has to be a company-wide policy because there are referrals, because you do have the reputation. I want to read to you my response to this customer. And by the way, I think that it was, and I suspect that it was this competitor that said that they would match our price, or they would, you know, beat our price on the equipment or you know, something like that. And but it could have also been, I don't know, I'm not real sure exactly what it was, but here was my response to her. I said, so again, she said, need to discuss with my spouse, but hoping to make a decision this weekend. Are you able to do any better on the price? My understanding is that there's some room to negotiate. I said, it's a fair question and one definitely worth asking, especially since a lot of companies in this industry do initially price the systems higher to allow for such negotiations. I get the marketing strategy, but most of our business is based on referrals. We try to price the equipment fairly so that we can maintain price integrity from one customer to another. We can definitely do better on the price, but it would be with different equipment. So we, 2 days later, ended up getting that sale without the discounts on it. and for the premium equipment. So here's my suggestion on this, and then we'll open it up for a couple minutes to let you guys tell me whether you agree or disagree. I think if you are going to build your company on referrals and price integrity, then you have to be consistent with that. I think that if you start discounting, then you have to discount for everybody because, yeah, you got a referral. That's great. But every referral you got cost you money or potentially cost you money. And if you start pricing the equipment all over the board, even $200 or $300 or $400 different between one piece of equipment and another, then you, I don't know, if I find out from that my neighbor bought the exact same thing and got it for $300 less, I'm actually a little pissed off. I'm feeling like I got screwed a little bit. That's just me as a consumer. Like it's a little wrong. I kind of want to, you know, it leaves a sour taste in my mouth. I've run into that before when I bought something and then 2 days later there was a huge sale and the company wouldn't, you know, at a retail store and the company wouldn't honor the discount, you know, or those differences in prices. I don't want that sour taste in my customer's mouth. And the way that because I believe in referrals so strongly, I focus on referrals and earning that price integrity and honesty right from the beginning. I don't know. I think it says from a sales perspective, if I'm going in knowing that I can sell it to you for $300 or $400 less and I get that bigger price for you and not somebody else, that feels a little dirty. I think it's no wonder people think that salespeople are deceptive. Like, I prefer to start a relationship off with trust and honesty right from the very beginning. What do you guys think of that? And do you agree or disagree?
I totally agree. And one of the things I do that really kind of puts a limit to that is I literally have a price sheet printed out.
Yes. Yes. Oh, good idea.
My
yeah.
water test results on. And then yep. I what I'm recommending for them, and the prices are printed right there. When I started using that, the number of people that ask for a different price is very slim.
I know, Maria, you do that too, right? You show the price list on that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it shows you're not just pulling that price out. The one thing, yeah, excellent suggestion, Stacy. Be proud of your prices. Show that price there. Show it. The one thing I can say is sometimes customers are trained this way. Sometimes you have to give a little bit. You have an opportunity, but don't give it away for nothing, right? Try, by the way, if you have to discount something, try and make it in a set of filters. You know, you'll give them a set of filters or a few extra bags of salt or something that doesn't change the price of the equipment. But if you do give it to them and you have to, get something in return for it. You know, they say, so can you take a couple $100 off? You say, make sure that you're getting something. Are you going to commit to an installation date and give us a deposit right now if I do? You know, don't be afraid to ask for something in return. You know, if on those rare occasions you do have to do it. But I would take pride in your prices, take pride in the equipment you have, and maintain that price integrity. It adds credibility to you, your company, and frankly, this industry as a whole. It will set us apart from those yuck, backslappy salespeople out there. Final thoughts.
Great topic.
And I would just add, too, in today's time, with everything changing in our world and supply chain shortages and equipment hard to get.
Yeah. Yes.
I tell people, hey, I'm sorry, you know, yeah, this is just not a competitive market. You're lucky we even have something to sell you.
That's actually really true. That's going to help us a lot. Yeah. You're right.
If you want a discount, then you're going to, you know, maybe we can do the job a year from now. that's what we run into on the contractor world a lot because of equipment.
Yeah.
I kid you not, that's the reality.
No, that's a really great point. I love it. Yeah, that's a great point.
We have a competitor in the area that's telling people it's going to be probably 3 months before equipment comes in.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, go ahead.
We're loving this now.
Yeah. All right. Hey, that's our time. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. And please make it a habit.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
So everybody else, thank you very much. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. Be safe, everybody.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Take care.